On the phone right now, I'm so happy to have the Duke of Drive, Terry Baucom. How you doing, Terry?
I'm doing good, Steve. It's really nice to be on with you today. And I love Bill Emerson's player, man. You can't go wrong with that.
You know, isn't he? Let's just talk banjos for a second, Terry. Then we'll give it. But as a banjo player, when you watch Bill and you listen to him, you think, well, that's just all simple. I don't mean that in a downplay, but he's so clean and so precise.
It is, and the play Sweet Dixie like he did is nothing simple, man. It's really hard to do. I've tried it for years, and I still don't have it like he does it. He just has a certain way he does it, and it always comes out right, man. I love his play.
He's so smooth, and it just rolls along, and you're thinking, well, I could do that. And then you go pick up your banjo, and you think, wait a minute. Something isn't as smooth as Bill. He's just a cool guy. He's still got that Navy look, too. When you see him, he's all buttoned up.
Oh, he is, and he is really a good guy. He loves to play banjo as good as anybody I know of, because he's always got new stuff, and just look at some of the songs he's written, you know, it's just great stuff. Cowboys and Indians, Sweet Dixie, I mean, it goes off and on.
Oh, yeah. You know, and my favorite, I used to bust into this all the time, was Theme Time.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to just bust into a fun banjo tune, just for fun.
That is true. Yeah. I haven't thought of that in a long time, but you're right, Matt. That is a fun song to do. It sure is.
Oh, man, it's a blast. Yeah. It's a blast. Yeah, he's still out there doing it, and just as smooth as silk and all the stuff that, you know, just to talk about Bill just for a second. Of course, everybody in the bluegrass world knows Fox on the Run.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
As a bluegrass song.
He was the first guy to do that. You know why
he did it? He was He used to drive around back in those days. He would have a little tape recorder. This is what I've heard him say this before. And he would hear a song on the radio, and he would record. Of course, that's a rock and roll song. Man for Man actually did the song originally. And in Bill's mind, he thought that would make a bluegrass tune. And man did it.
It really did. I mean, one of the most popular of all time in our town business here. And, you know, he did it with Cliff Aldrin first.
Yeah.
And the gentleman did it later on. And, yeah, he's got a knack for finding the songs. He really does.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was a good one there. I still like to hear it.
Oh, yeah. It's cool. Well, listen, man, we got home yesterday, got your new single, What'll I Do? And as I mentioned on the program when we opened up, I said when Bach throws a picking party, he gathers some pretty strong names there. Who's on this new album with you, man?
Well, we've got Sam Bush doing mandolin and lead vocal. I've known Sam for years, and everybody knows him as soon as they hear him play, you know, so he's really got a good style that he can really call his own. And Jerry Douglas, I work with Jerry and the band Boom Creek, along with Steve Bryant, who's playing bass on it, and Wyatt Rice is playing guitar, and let's see, Sam's doing the lead vocal, and Buddy Melton of Boston Range is doing the tenor vocal.
Okay, yeah. Wow, man, it's some strong. I can't wait. I mean, I've played the single a dozen times since I got home yesterday, and I keyed it up right away in the first 20 minutes of this show just to let them know you were coming on, but boy, it's just a great... And the label is, as I read it, John Boy and Billy. That's the label you're on?
Yes, it is. Okay. John Boy and Billy.
Okay. What do you think, Terry? When do you think you might get this thing finished and fired up so we can get the whole daggone thing in our hands?
Well, we're still getting some vocals added to it, and we'll have to do the mixing and everything. But Cindy, my wife, tells me she's my manager and all this kind of stuff, so she tells me it should be out in September.
Okay, that's good.
Well, that's all we're shooting for anyway.
All right. That'll we'll wait. We'll just wait and we'll just play with this one for a while and listen. You mentioned Boone Creek there, and I mean, I'm familiar with Boone Creek. It's kind of taken on this legendary status, Boone Creek. It may be funny for you to think back and realize that, but a lot of the listeners, and we're talking to Terry Baucom on the radio here, tell them what Boone Creek was and who was in that band just to get up to speed.
Okay, Steve, it was Ricky Skaggs and Jerry Douglas, myself, and Wes Golding played the guitar. And they had a couple different bass players when they first started, but once Steve Bryant, we found him, he was the mainstay on the bass from there on out. So it was a really good band. We were based out of Kentucky, living in Lexington, and one reason I wanted to do this song, What'll I Do, Cindy got a live recording of a show we did at the Holiday Inn, And I was doing all these lyrics that I put on this song, my new single. And, you know, I said, I didn't even know I did that lyric. And I had kind of sat down and worked out a few of those lyrics. And I said, well, that would go perfect because I'm using over half of Boone Creek on this anyway. So that's why I put that. If you hear a lyric and it don't fit, well, that's what I was doing in Boone Creek anyway.
Well, you know, so. Well, you know why you were hanging out down at the Holiday Inn in Lexington, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that J.D. Crow guy, J.D. kind of lived down there, didn't he?
Yeah, J.D. was there, and we were living in Lexington. Crow, he lived in Nicholasville, right outside of Lexington, and they would play quite often there. And we would go over and hear them, and when they wasn't playing, like there was another Holiday Inn in Louisville, and Crow would go up there and play it, and then we would move into the old post lounge there and work for a few weeks, and then we would go on down to Frankfort, Kentucky. So, you know, the gigs were just flowing there. I mean, all kind of gigs at that time of the year, which was the mid to late 70s.
Yeah.
And that's how I really got to know Crow, hanging out with him. And when they were doing it and we were off, I would always go out and hang out with Crow and just watch him, you know, maybe sit there and play fiddle with him a little bit. So
that's right. I wanted to remind people that you're a pretty fair fiddle player, too.
Well, I was then. I don't do too much of it anymore. The banjo keeps me more than busy. It's kind of like, if I don't play every day, I can really start noticing some bad flubs here and there, you know. So, but I enjoy playing it. You know, I really do enjoy playing. And, I like recording this kind of stuff here. You know, the first CD that I come out with, in a groove, it's a little more stirred down the road bluegrass, you know, and I love that. I really do love that kind of stuff, but I also like the Boone Creek flavor and the early Doyle Lawson Quicksand.
Oh, yeah.
I really like that kind of playing, too, and that's what the new album's going to be, a little more Boone Creek flavor, early Doyle stuff, you know. It's going to be that kind of, hopefully that kind of stuff anyway.
Well, the new single has that stamp on it. And of course, when you look at the lineup, you can kind of see where it's going a little bit. But, boy, it just sounds so good. And I mean, it reminds you a little because on the end, when did the In the Groove come out?
I'm not sure.
A year ago?
I'm not really sure. Yeah, I guess it was.
But
yeah, maybe a little longer than a year.
But you got on that, yeah, it might have been more than a year, you're right. But you got on there, I hear John Cowan and Rigsby, and you pile in a whole bunch of cool guys, and that's like you say, that's not, it's not right in the pocket bluegrass, but that's just real strong right there, kind of where you want to be is what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, and you know, when I'm thinking of who do I want to sing this, you know, I start hearing, okay, that would be perfect for John Cowan. And I love John Cowan singing, and I've known John forever anyway. So he was more than happy to do it, and I've worked quite a bit with Don Ritchie, and I heard Willie's doing that song in the group. I said, man, that is Don right there, and Don was happy to do it. So, yeah, I kind of listen to your songs, and once we get them recorded, I said, who would fit this, man, you know, and that's kind of, when we laid this one down, I said, how could it be anyone other than Sam? I mean, he just makes it his own, you know, so it worked out really well for that.
You know, I'm looking here at my list that I got pulled up. You wanna play something from In the Groove while we're talking here, and then you and I can chat. We'll come back on for a minute. Let's do that. All right.
Let's see. What would be good?
Let's.
I wish you knew.
I was just going to say that because I got that listed here, and that's one that John's singing in, and you can hear his. Nobody sounds like John Cowan, just like nobody sounds like Sam Bush. So you want to do that one then?
That'd be fine.
All right.
Let's
click off of here, folks, and I'm talking to. So happy to be talking to Terry Balkum this beautiful Saturday afternoon, and we're going to click off here a minute. I will play you a track from In a Groove. We're going to play more than one. I'm going to keep Terry until he tells me he's got to go. So hold on. We're going to play I Wish You Knew, and you will hear John Cowan's voice, who you just heard, by the way, before this break. We were playing some cuts from John Cowan's latest thing. So hold on a second. All right. We're back. With Terry and I were talking. What I did right away, folks, was, and this is Terry Balkum on the phone, I looked for it, and I just, my eyes jumped up, and from the In a Groove, I played In a Groove, and then we played the song with John Cowan that we were actually trying to target. So you got a double bonus there, and Terry and I were talking during that break just about different crazy stories and whatnot. And you were talking about the Reno, the influence and your knowledge of the Reno family, because we were talking about Ronnie Reno is going to call in a couple weeks. And of course, Don Reno, that's a whole different, you know, we can talk about Scruggs style and all kinds of different things. And Sonny's great playing, but boy, Don Reno was just a whole different animal.
He really was, man. I guess that's why you don't hear as many Reno players as you do Scruggs players, because Don's stuff was so difficult to do. I mean, he didn't use a capo that much, and he could do still guitar licks on it or whatever, you know, and it was just, I thought it was a beautiful style of banjo, but I don't know very much of it because it's so hard to do, you know.
It's
you do a lot of Reno stuff?
Oh, no. No, not even, not even, bud. No, his left hand to me, his left hand was a whole separate animal that had his own brain and just, you know, he did things. With, and then, of course, you got the right hand, which is totally off from the Scruggs because he's using two fingers.
I know, you know, and his son, Don Wayne, can play as close to Don as anyone I've ever heard, but still yet, Don had a way with that kind of stuff. He, the way he felt it when he played, you could just tell he was meant to do that. You know, it was just so good and so cool.
Yep, it was a different ballgame. We were when we were off of the air, I was running out of time, but to finish the story, Terry, I was telling Terry Baucom here on the phone about a story that Sonny told on the air a couple months ago, where he and Don Reno were, I guess, parked somewhere in a festival, and Don was in Sonny's bus. And did you know that Don Reno was a barber, Terry?
I did not know that. Yeah, I did not know.
He was a barber. And he, everywhere he went, he took his barber tools, according to Sonny, which, you know, makes sense to me. And the story is such that they were in the Osborne Brothers bus, and of course he and Don were good friends. And some guy just walked in the side of the bus, drunk or on something. He had a long beard and long hair, so I'll give you some idea how long ago it was. And Don said, "Wait a minute." He runs over to his bus, comes back with his barber tools while the guy's sitting there passed out, gives him a shave. Cuts his hair. The guy never woke up till they were done. Cleans up all the hair. So the guy finally comes to, has no idea what's happened to him, and walks out the door. And they just both thought, gee, I wonder what someone thought when they saw him for the first time, or what he thought when he looked in a mirror.
You gotta go to a festival and get your hair trimmed.
whether you know what's happening or not, from Don Reno, isn't that wild?
That is wild, but I did not know he was a barber. He had never told me that. Uh-huh. You know, I hung around with him quite a bit when I was in Virginia.
I guess he was waiting for you to fall asleep. Terry, I guess he was waiting for you to fall asleep so he could cut your hair and you wouldn't know.
Then I would know for sure, wouldn't I?
You'd know something happened. Oh, man.
That is so good. No, it's always fun to learn something that you didn't know, for sure.
Well, that story, of course, when Sonny tells it, it's, you know, it's 20 minutes, and it's just absolutely gut-busting story, but that's part of it.
Yeah, Sonny's really good at telling the story. I love to hear it myself.
Yeah, we've had a blast. We've had a blast doing this. So Boone Creek, and then you were fairly young in Boone Creek, and then what kind of stuff did you get into after that as far as music-wise?
Okay, not too awfully long. After Boone Creek, I had moved back to Charlotte, North Carolina, back to where I was from. I was doing some teaching and some freelance work around town. There's a lot of corporate jobs at that time that, you know, I played with two or three different bands, and, you know, you just didn't go out and do a show. You just kind of hung out in the corner and played atmosphere music, you know what I mean? And so we done some shows like that, and it wasn't too awfully long after that that Bill called and said he was going to put together a group, and he had already talked to Jimmy Haley and Lou Lee, and he had thought of me playing the banjo, because I'd run into him quite a bit when I was with Boone Creek, and he was with a gentleman, and so we all gathered up and went to Bill's place in Virginia, where he was living at the time, and we like locked ourselves in for the whole weekend and played all the time. Just kept on playing all day, every day for two or three days. And he said, "What do you think?" I said, "Man, I'd love to do it." So that's how that come about. So I went kind of Boone Creek to kind of doing the corporate gig and teaching, that kind of thing, and then went right into Quicksilver. So.
Well, how long you were you with Doyle? And I know I've got a bunch of albums bouncing around here and a couple collections where they did there.
Well, I'm I was with him twice. I started off with him and stayed 6 years, and then in 03 I went back with him and stayed until 07. So I was with him a total of 10 years in the two hitches I had with him.
Wow.
And I loved it. I love Farmer Doyle. I'm with Doyle, really good friends now, and I admired his music, and he tells me he admires mine. So we always really enjoyed playing together. So
boy, you can't
that was a good time. You know, I love the Boone Creek stuff, but, you know, you listen to the early Quicksilver, it's not really all that far away from kind of the Boone Creek sound, because Lou Reed was playing the Electric Bass more on the Steve Bryant style, you know, and we had the good harmony like Boone Creek, and we come up with a bunch of really good songs like Yellow River.
There's probably not a show, I won't play it today because I'm going to run, I always play Yellow River, and that is such a different, you're right, Doyle would also do that thing, we were talking about Bill Emerson's ear, but Doyle had a great ear for, and people in the band also, that band was a little different.
Well, you know, the thing of it is, Steve, on that live cut that Cindy come up with somehow, a Boone Creek playing at the Holiday Inn, I did it first with Boone Creek. We never recorded it, but it's on that tape. I mean, we used to do it quite often on shows. And then Lee happened to say one time, he said, I thought you sang the Yellow River, and since we've never cut it, that's how that was introduced to Quicksilver.
Well,
Lee was going to do it because he had heard that tape, and he always loved Stagg singing anyway. So
yeah.
That's how that come about.
Well, you know, it's funny because I've got the album, and I was talking to Cindy yesterday about getting some stuff queued up for it. I don't have it on CD, but I knew it was on there. That's kind of why I wanted to bring it up as to where those songs. So Doyle was able to get band members in and then use other material that he heard and knew enough to know that was a good tune because, man, that's a classic Doyle Lawson tune.
Oh, it really is. I mean, the second time I went back with Doyle, we worked up several of the old Quicksilver things, and that was one of them. We did it a bunch of times, you know, a lot of shows, and I always enjoyed it. To me, that is my favorite song I ever recorded with Doyle.
Good. Every time I cue up something from Doyle, I do a couple songs, you know, whenever I do when I get in that mood, and that's always one of them. And then I'll try to pick something from his new things because I just want to get the fresh stuff. But that to me is just it's a given that if I'm playing Doyle Lawson on the radio, I'm going to sneak that in somewhere.
Yeah, I remember when Doyle was going somewhere, just me and him in a car, and that album had just come out. And me and him really listening to Yellow River, and he would hit it and run it back, and then we'd listen to it again. I'd hit it and we'd run it back. And Doyle said, I like that as good as anything we've ever done. I said, I know I like that.
Yeah.
That is my favorite song. So at the time we listened to it, I bet we listened to it 15 times in a row. You know, just really listening to everything going on. And I was always proud of that cup because it's such a good cup. And, you know, getting back to the Sal Bush on my new single, he's playing fiddle on that. So
is that right?
All goes around. Yeah, it sure is. And he took a wonderful fiddle break on that. And, you know, it just goes around and comes around. That's kind of interesting to talk about. Now, I haven't talked about that in a long time, but, me and Sam have recorded a little bit together. He played on several cuts along there, but I can't really name them off right now without looking myself because I haven't heard some of those things in a long time. But,
Well, normally when I have somebody on, I'll go back and pull everything out, but I just this was yesterday. Folks, this was yesterday, I don't know, 3 or 4 o'clock when I hooked up with Terry and Cindy, and we decided, and I tried to pull as much, but I remember a lot of things. I just don't have them all handy to touch them and read all the credits, but I knew Yellow River was from Boone Creek, and I kind of wanted to, that's one of my favorite tunes. And I mean, I could pull my shows and show you where I play it every time I touch on Doyle's things. And I knew it was Boone Creek. I knew it was Boone Creek.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It come out well, you know, and Lou Reed, he was really good at finding songs, too. He was one that brought Don't Cross the River to Doyle, early Quicksilver group. You know, and that always made a, just, that sounded exactly like something we would have done with Boone Creek, you know, so. But his two styles was similar, for sure. And, I enjoyed both of those bands. It's really a good time playing with both of those bands.
Well, I mean, with Boone Creek, it's kind of a, I'm not going to say a bunch of young guys, but you're all kind of similar you know, around that same, and it seems to me you're kind of experimenting, you're not wild, far out stuff. This is way before Newgrass Revival stuff with Sam, but I mean, you're kind of finding your way around.
Yeah, it was just kind of experimenting, you know, because the first one we did, the rounder one, like half of it was just straight down the road bluegrass. Ain't nobody gonna miss me when I'm gone, that kind of stuff. And, yeah, I think we did, let's see, what is it? Charlie did, and I think we had a cut on there. So one side was just totally bluegrass, and the other side, we even stretched that a little further, and we had, you know, drums, had steel guitar, and piano, and we, you know, we just had like a country rock side, you know. We kind of experimented with that a little bit. And I wish they would release that again. It's out of print now. It's not, you can't get it, but you can get the one-way track CD, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So Doyle is like, of course, that's the School of Bluegrass. I mean, they even did a collection called the School. You learn a lot in a band like that with Doyle, I would imagine.
Oh, you do. You sure do. I tell you, I've never sang a lot of bass until, well, I sang a little bit of bass with Charlie Moore. He kind of helped me out there back when that's my first job. But once I got in the band with Skaggs and Jerry and Willis, I mean, I really learned a lot about vocals there as far as singing bass and baritone blending. You know, Skaggs is such he's an outstanding singer, and he hears everything so well. So I did learn a lot of vocals there, but, you know, and playing, and I just took that on with Doyle, because when we got together, we done a lot of quartet stuff, and that was right down my alley, because I've been doing all that kind of stuff with Boone Creek, you know, so it kind of went hand in hand.
Terry, you going to do some of that?
Very easy transmission.
You going to do some of that on the new CD? You can do some vocals
Yeah, I'll be doing some baritone stuff. We've got a really nice one gospel song we're going to do on there. I'm not sure if it's going to need me singing bass or not. I may do some bass singing if the case arises, but I'll be doing some baritone stuff.
On the In a Groove CD, who's singing? Who all singing on the My Eyes Shall Be on the Land of Canaan?
That is the original Quicksilver. That's me, Jimmy, Lou, and Doyle.
Oh, okay.
So, a good friend of mine, Cody Shuler, had written a song, and I was looking for a gospel song. I told him, I said, I need something that would fit Quicksilver back in the day, and he said, I got the song for you.
Okay.
And he sent it to me, and as soon as I heard it, I said, yeah, man, that's it. So I got the band back together for that one there on there, and it turned out really well. I loved the song, and it was nice doing it with the original band.
Someone in the chat room, what we do here a lot of times is, well, often there's a chat room open. People type me questions and questions for you. And someone named Sheila wants me to ask you if Jimmy Haley is still playing.
Yeah, you say that again, Steve.
Jimmy Haley still playing. The question from Sheila, ask him if Jimmy Haley is still playing.
Jimmy Haley, I see him once in a while. We don't, her parents don't cost too much. Jimmy plays some locally. He lives in like King, North Carolina, right around Winston. And he plays some local stuff. He's not really one that you would say get out and play with bands on festival or anything. He doesn't do that anymore.
Okay. Well, they just had a question. Hey, you want to play this, My Eyes, Shall Be on Canaan Land, since being tomorrow's Easter and the fact we just talked about? You want to run that one?
That would be great.
All right.
It really would.
I think I will actually hit the right one this time. If not, we'll just do a twofer again. But I'll get it eventually. All right. This is Terry.
All right.
We'll get it. Terry Baucom on Steve Martin's Unreal Bluegrass. We're going to try to play from In a Groove, My Eyes Shall Be on the Land of Canaan. This is a great tune. Hold on. All right. Here we are. Terry Baucom and I. We get on conversations when you all are listening. Terry and I are talking about banjo stuff and Bill Keith tuners and all kinds of cool stuff. So Terry, we're back on the air. That was from In a Groove. That was My Eyes on the Land of Canaan. And this has been so much fun. I enjoy this so much, and I hope you're enjoying calling in and chatting, telling these people about all the stuff you've been working on. It's been a good time, I think.
It has been a very good time, and I sure appreciate you calling and wanting to do this. And like I was telling you earlier, when this thing comes out in September, it's untitled yet, but when it does, we'll be sure you get one and you can call back, or I will call in and talk some more about some of the different tunes on there.
Oh yeah, when keep me on the list. I got this yesterday, so Cindy can keep me on the list, and as soon as it hits here, buddy, I'll call you and we'll set up another chat thing here for a while and just talk about it. How's that?
That sounds great, man. I really do appreciate you playing not only my music, but bluegrass, period. I mean, that's something good. Everybody's got to take their part in it, and absolutely, we appreciate what you do. We really do.
All right, man. Hey, listen, thanks so much, and you have a good Easter tomorrow, okay? I know Cindy's coming down here. Y'all going to get with your family?
Absolutely. I hope you have a good one, too, yeah. Steve.
All right, man. All right. I'll talk to you later, Terry.
Okay, Steve. Thanks, Dave.
See you, bye.